Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's open up to the book of God, the Gospel of John real quick, and then we're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 as we talk about the Spirit of God connecting us in relationship through the gifts that He gives. Each and every gift that the Spirit of God distributes to us is always for the purpose of connection. Through Him working through us and then connecting with each other, but especially with God. It's all about relationships, and the gifts that God has given to us lead us in this relationship. Remember, we started out weeks ago in John 17 talking about Jesus defining eternal life and how He defined it as relationship. It's what it is. It's not something you get when you die. It's not something that just means to live forever or anything like that. It's something that is now, and it is contained and experienced in the context of relationship with God. And Jesus defined it, John 17:3. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent." Relationship is it. The life is in the relationship with Him. That is eternal life. That's where life is found. I've come to give you life, give it to you more abundantly. And it is in the knowing of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And remember, at first Sunday when we started talking about this, we defined and talked about the fact that in order to truly know someone, as you get to know them, there are several things that take place. That when you come to know somebody, you are able to trust them. And the more you trust them, the more you love them. Or, as you know them and you get to define and or to find out, discover things about them, you fall more in love with them. And then love enables you to trust them more because of that love. But it's knowing, loving, trusting. Knowing, trusting, loving. And it's all connection by means of relationship. And that God has brought us into the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because He wants a relationship with us. I don't know if you ever stop to think about this. Because we truly are the apple of His eye. We are His constant thought. God's not worried about anything. God's not anxious, preoccupied with other things going on in His creation. You are the center of His attention. He delights in you, the Scripture says. He sings over you. He dances and celebrates over you and I, that talks about in the Old Testament. The very thought of you thrills Him. You are His constant focus of attention, you and I. Because He delights and desires this intimate relationship with us and for us to get to know Him. Because in knowing Him, that's life. Now, when the Spirit of God is comprehended, when we lay hold of Him, and as Jesus said, as He comes to indwell us and we experience this union with God, the Spirit of God comes bearing gifts. And He's distributed gifts to His church, to the body of Jesus Christ. He's given gifts or functions within the body. He distributes gifts to us daily. If we are anticipatory, if we're living in an expectancy of these things in the context of relationships, and the purpose why He gives these gifts is for relationship. It is for connecting us and God with each other. So if you'll turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and look over there very quickly as in Paul begins to describe and talk about some of these gifts. And when we look at these, they're functional role gifts, this set of gifts that he begins to talk about here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. They are roles, they are functions within the body of Christ that God gives. We sort of have elevated these things and we've described them as offices and positions and titles and those kinds of things, but they are truly a function. What an individual is gifted to do within his or her function in the body of Christ. Now it says that when He ascended far above all the heavens in order that He might fill all things, it says He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and some as teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Every part of the body is participating, supplying something, all of you. When you're functioning like that, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Paul says that when these gifts of men, these functional gifts, these things that Christ has given to us by His Spirit, their purposes are being carried out. The body of Christ then, in their gifting, they're all doing what they're supposed to do. They are all participating. They are all exercising and functioning as they are equipped by God to do in the power of the Holy Spirit with love. It says the body grows. And the particular area that Paul defines the way in which this body grows is not just numerically, but he says it grows in love. And in growing in love, it is growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is becoming collectively like Jesus, reflecting the mirror image of Jesus to the world as each person is functioning, doing their part through this connection. And it's interesting how Paul uses the analogy of a physical body and these joints. Every one of these descriptions are connecting things. Every one of them, there's life that's flowing. There's life that's flowing in these connections for the body to function as it should. Now, he describes five different kinds of functions that lead to this. One of those he starts out describing, he talks about apostles. And he says, Jesus has given us these. Now, what do apostles do? Well, basically, these individuals go where no one has ever experienced or known about a relationship with God. They're not going, as Paul said, to build on somebody else's foundation. They're going to lay the foundation for a relationship with God. And they introduce people, they introduce communities, cities into this relationship. That's what Paul did. That's what the apostles did. Paul didn't want to go where anybody else had been. I'm going where no one else has gone before in order to do what? To introduce these people to a relationship with God. That's what I'm going to do. Then he says there's not only apostles, but he says there's prophets. Now, when something goes wrong, one side of the coin, when something goes wrong in the relationship, the prophets come along and speak words of correction to fix the problem. They address the problem in the relationship. But we also know that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that the other side of prophecy is exhortation and encouragement. They also speak positive things to build up the relationship. When you look in the Old Testament and you see the prophets coming along, what was the issue? There was a problem in the people's relationship with God. And so what did they do? They were pointing out the problem and they were trying to correct the problem in the relationship so that the relationship could be healed and restored. They also spoke encouraging things. They spoke that with it as well as in the New Testament. Prophets in the New Testament, as you see that, they spoke words of hope and encouragement, motivating the people to anticipate the goodness of God coming to them. But it's all about relationship. Then he says God also gave evangelists. What do evangelists do? They invite people into a relationship with God. That's what they're doing. They're introducing and inviting them and presenting to them this good news and calling them to believe this good news and enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then he says you also have pastors. Now again, see, the way the church is developed in the West, especially this, our concept as is of a title, of a job that somebody does. But Jesus gave these particular individuals, gifted them as a function. The word is also translated as a shepherd. And in particular, it has to do with individuals who are nurturing and bringing comfort to those in the area of relationship. Where there are areas where they need encouragement, where they need comforting, where they need nurturing, the shepherd gifters, the ones who are gifted that way, go and they address those issues in the relationship and help them. They may not, a person who is truly gifted as a pastor or shepherd may not be a great teacher. In fact, they may never even stand in a pulpit as we know it. They may have an ability to teach. They may have a real gifting to teach as well. But that's not always necessarily so, but they may have the ability to sit side by side with someone and bring comfort to them and nurturing to them in a way that the apostle, the prophet, or the evangelist cannot in the area of relationship. Because that is their gift. And then Paul says you have teachers. You have teachers, and what do teachers do? These individuals instruct. They are pointing out and giving people truths that will deepen their relationship with God, that will help them get to know God in a more, in a broader sense and in a deeper way. They will give people knowledge of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And they will also enhance and enable them and teach them practices that will help them develop their relationship with God. That's what a teacher does. There is instruction that's given, and they're gifted. But notice, each one of these five things, like a hand, reaching out, making connection with others for relationship. And these are gifted individuals given by God, given by the Spirit for the purpose of building up our relationship with God. And Paul says that as the body of Christ receives ministry from these individuals as they are doing what they are called and gifted to do, they receive guidance in their relationship with God, then the body of Christ begins to grow. The body of Christ begins to manifest the knowing, loving, and trusting of God in the relationship that they have with God, and the world sees that and sees them exercising their particular gifts. Everybody, as Paul says, notice, is participating. This is what he says in verse 12, that God gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints. To do what? For the work of service. Build, you see, it's out of the context of our relationship with God that we serve, that we minister to the world around us and to one another, to build one another up as the body of Christ, as we are being ministered to by those who are gifted in functioning in these different areas. And this goes on, he says, until we all attain to a unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're growing up, we're maturing, we're developing into a mature individual, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Very simply, he's saying we're growing up into Christ-likeness corporately together as we are receiving ministry from those who are gifted in the context of our growing in our relationship with God. As we grow in this, as we get to know, love, and trust Jesus, and we're maturing in love, Paul's saying that, look, you're not going to be children anymore. You're not going to be tossed to and fro by all kinds of weird, strange doctrines or by men who are going to come and trick you, manipulate you, and especially the things that they were having to deal with them, with the Judaizers and trying to add the law and grace, and then as well those who were coming along in the Gnostic teaching who were emphasizing a lot of weird, strange things about Jesus, about God, all those kinds of things. You won't be blown about by all that. Why? Because you will be grounded and you will be growing up, becoming Christ-like. You will be knowing God in the context of this relationship, having received ministry from apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they will have helped you. You then, in your gifting, you began, you're serving, you're carrying out ministry, you're maturing, you're growing, you're not being tricked or deceived. You're speaking truth then in love. What do you speak truth and love in the context of? Relationship with each other. You're sharing truth with each other, motivated by the love of God. And you're growing up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ. You're becoming Christ-like. You're growing in Him. And He says the whole body, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Not by what one joint supplies, or two, or three, or a few in a collective body, but everyone. Everyone gifted. Everyone empowered. Everyone walking. Everyone serving. Everyone loving God. Everyone doing what God has gifted them to do. Doing it with passion. Doing it with devotion. Doing it under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit in the context of relationship with God and relationship with the world and people around them. When everyone is doing what they're supposed to do, He says what will happen is that there's life. Joint is supplying life. The proper working of each individual part. Well, what will happen? It will cause growth. It will cause growth. Not slick marketing programs. Not slick entertainment. Not slick cool new buildings and all those kinds of things. That's all manipulative, fleshly stuff that will not last, and you have to keep improving on it, getting it a little bit sharper and a little bit slicker to keep people focused and entertained. Just look at technology itself. What was fun 10 years ago, nobody cares about anymore. We want something that's the latest and greatest. We need something better. It's what everybody clamors for. Paul is saying, though, what happens when people are operating according to their gifting in the context out of the context of their relationship with God under the power of the Holy Spirit, love is filling them and they are serving in their gifting, growth comes. Two kinds of growth. There is maturity growing. There is developing maturity as a collective group of people. You are contributing to the growth of the body of Christ. Now, and again, the body of Christ is growing today all over the earth. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people have entered in by faith today all over the world because the church continues to grow. She's also growing and maturing in a lot of ways all over the earth. It's not just about one little particular fellowship in a denomination growing. Our little kingdom over here. It is not about our little kingdom. It's about His kingdom. It is about the kingdom. And it's the kingdom growing. And when we're doing what we need to be doing, gifted as we are gifted to do it, the body grows and matures, especially in this area of love. Because we are in a relationship with love. And as we get to know love, we love and trust. We trust in love. And we could grow and mature in the relationship with Him. Everybody is participating. And the love of God becomes a magnet, drawing people to His Son, drawing people to a deeper relationship. You never know, as you are, again, doing things, being led by the Spirit, what impact you're having upon other people's lives. Sometimes you find that out. Sometimes somebody sends you an email. Somebody gives you a phone call. Somebody drops a word in the conversation saying, you know, when you did this, you impacted me this way. You had no idea, but you were simply doing what you were feeling led by the Spirit of God to do. Using your gifts and doing it passionately. And you blessed and you touched someone's life. The body grows in this area of love, and love becomes a magnet. And remember, Jesus, wherever He went, I mean, as we talked about months ago, the energy that vibrated from within Him was love. And it attracted people who needed that. It drew them. And they came to Him. They were drawn to Him to receive the love that He was pouring out to them. But you see, you think, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. That doesn't mean you're not gifted. These are the functions he's talking about. But now, let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What's interesting is Paul is describing this to the Corinthians, and of course they had problems. It's funny how people always say, oh man, we wish we could go back to the early church and be like the early church. Oh really? You want to have that kind of stuff going on that they were having to deal with? I mean, there were a lot of issues going on in these churches. And this was one messed up group of people in a lot of ways. A lot of problems. But Paul never addressed it like that. He always treated them like what he knew them to be, saints. That's why he started out the very letter saying, to the saints of God who are at Corinth. Understand who you are and your actions will change. Your identity will determine what you do. If you understand who you are now, everything will change. It's because we get messed up in our thinking and deceived by it. But one of the areas they had really kind of gotten sidetracked in was the area of spiritual gifts. Now remember, when these people got together, they weren't getting together like we do on a Sunday, having the 40-yard stare, where everybody was sitting in nice, neat little rows, staring at one person talking. They gathered together in people's homes. They gathered together around a meal every time. And when they all got together, they were all anticipating and expecting to participate in this meeting. They weren't coming to go listen to a speaker. They were all going to participate in some way, exercising gifts when they got together. In fact, the whole context of chapter 12 goes all the way back to chapter 11 when Paul begins to address the issue of when you come together in verse 17. From verse 17 of chapter 11 on forward in the next several chapters, this has to do with their gathering. So he's addressing what's happening when they get together. Issues at the Lord's table when they were celebrating communion, people getting drunk, people getting in front of one another, cutting out the poor. But then he says, come to the area of spiritual gifts. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. You don't need to be ignorant about this stuff. You need to know about this stuff. He says, it's important. These are supernatural gracelets, as some people call them. Gracelets. And he says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Now, as you begin to see these gifts, and as he begins to talk about them, notice, what you have to understand is these are gifts of the Spirit, which means they are supernatural manifestations. Supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. Why are they giving? They are given, when you look at this in a minute, to lead people into a relationship, to comfort them in relationship, to heal them in relationship, and to build them up in their relationship. So he says, look, the manifestations are supernatural, but they ought not to be unnatural for you as a child of God, because you're a supernatural creature. You're a supernatural being. So they become to be very natural for you. And just because it's in the spirit dimension doesn't mean that you cannot understand what they are and why God gives them. And he says in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. When you were practicing pagan worship, he said, you guys did a lot of stupid and weird things, and you were led away by dumb and dead idols. You're not serving a dumb or dead idol now, you're serving the living God. Then he says in verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's never going to distract away from Jesus, Paul says. He is always going to point to Christ, magnify Jesus. He's never going to dishonor or lead anyone to dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes and says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. He's saying there's different manifestations of giftings. And he says that it is the Spirit who's giving them. The one who is speaking, the one who is acting is the Spirit of God. There are varieties of ministries, he says in verse 5, but the same Lord. There will be different ministries that will be different in their function, but the same Lord will endorse them. The same Lord will endorse His purpose and His management, His work in each person. And there are varieties, he says in verse 6, of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now, some people look at that and say, okay, see, he's got the Trinity in there. Spirit, Lord, God. Spirit, Son, Father. Or saying that Spirit of God is God. Spirit is Lord. Spirit is God. Either way, the Trinity's involved in it. The Godhead is involved in it. But the Holy Spirit is the one, he says, who is distributing these giftings. And every one are gifted by God differently. But we're all drawing from the same source, from God. He's the one who's distributing them to us. And He is energizing and empowering each of us for the particular purpose of the moment. You see, these gifts that He's going to mention here are given and exercised in the context of their gathering together. Each joint, each body part is going to be gifted by the Spirit to do something. These gifts that Paul mentions here are not gifts that reside in somebody permanently, necessarily. They are for the need of a particular moment. They may not all be distributed in that gathering. The Holy Spirit may drop this one on that one and drop this one on that one and drop this one on that one for the need of the moment for ministry in the context of relationship. Building up relationship, healing relationship, comforting the relationship, strengthening, whatever. He distributes them and gives them in the need of the moment. But they are the Spirit of God's. It is His decision. It is His choice who to distribute these to in the context of that gathering and that ministry time. Each one is given, he says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now listen to what he said. You want to know God is present. You want to know that God is in your midst. These gracelets, these giftings will be evidence of that. He says they are manifestations, revelations, unveilings of the Spirit's presence in your midst. That's how you know God's there. Not because you get a funny feeling, or your hair stands up on the back of your neck, or you get goosebumps. He says these giftings, and as they are manifested, give you evidence of the manifestation and presence of God in your gathering. Then he says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits or the discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Notice this, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. And this is all in the context of them gathering together. He says, the Spirit of God, when you get together, or in the context of a ministry situation, will deposit on you something in the need of that moment that you exercise that will be a manifestation of God in that moment to whoever you're ministering to whatever's happened. People see, man, God's here. That's God. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. And he says he will distribute them as he wills to each one. It's like, poop, he drops that on you because that's what they need right now. And then as soon as the need is met, withdrawn. But it's in the context of you and I actively engaging in serving others and ministering to them. Not sitting back being spectators. It's serving. And we're collectively gathered, he says, around Jesus. And in the context of this gathering, these gifts are released. He says a word of wisdom. A word that kind of clears the air And wisdom prevails in following a particular situation. Maybe making a decision. Maybe choosing a path that you're getting ready to follow. The Spirit of God distributes a word of wisdom. That word of wisdom may be given to the individual for their own particular life, but many times it's given to someone for another. That person speaks to that person who's got a need and shares this word of wisdom. Notice, it's a word of wisdom. She just speaks a word to that person. Maybe God may be leading you, or this might be the best course of action to take. And it's like the light comes on and says, exactly what I needed. A word of wisdom. He says to another, a word of knowledge. Now, this is interesting. This isn't because you studied something. A word of knowledge comes from the standpoint of something that could not be known any other way except by the Spirit of God showing it to you, and it comes to light. The Spirit of God is the source of the knowledge. It's supernatural in a situation. And a lot of times we've experienced these things and we didn't realize where they were coming from. Sometimes we've been helping someone or ministering to somebody, and all of a sudden you're aware of something about that person that you didn't know, you had no idea of, you felt it, you're thinking it, you're all that stuff, and the Holy Spirit's trying to give you insight into what's going on in that person. And you share it, and then you blow them away. How did you know that? How did you know that? And then it opens the door for ministry. And a lot of times when we have these things happen to us, we're afraid. We don't step out on what we feel like the Spirit of God's showing us. We don't step out and act on it. We hold back. We quench what the Spirit of God's wanting to do in that moment in ministry to that person. I've had this happen, but it's always been in the context of ministering to somebody. A name, a circumstance, or a situation will come. As I've been in counseling sessions with people, and I'll say, does this mean anything to you? And they'll sit there and their eyes get real big. How did you know that? That doesn't mean I walk around and can list read everybody's mail all day long. Doesn't happen like that. In the context of ministry. And then Holy Spirit gives, Holy Spirit withdraws. What did it do though? In every situation where that's ever happened, it has always been for helping them in the context of their relationship with God or someone else. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He says faith. This isn't just simple trust. This is a supernatural kind of faith that is the mountain kind of moving faith that just rises up in somebody for a particular need that's right there present. Nothing's going to shake their faith about God is going to do this. God is going to do it, and it's going to happen now. He is going to do it. It's done. You don't even have to worry about it kind of thing. Boom, it rises up. Then he talks about the fact that there are also gifts, plural. Notice, gifts, plural, of healing. Because there's different kinds of healings that are needed. Sometimes it's emotional healing that someone needs. Sometimes it's physical healing they need. Sometimes it's spiritual healing. Sometimes it's being delivered from something, some sign of bondage in their life. But it's gifts, plural, that the Spirit of God gives in the context, again, of ministry. And you, boom, it happens. A healing takes place. Restoration takes place. A physical healing takes place. Somebody's soul is healed. Somebody comes to find Christ. Something takes place in a supernatural way. He also says there are miracles. The effecting of miracles. That means that's exact a miracle. Blind people seeing. Deaf people hearing. Lame people getting up and walking. Not just a healing, but it's a miraculous kind of thing. Miracles of multiplication sometimes. God does things like He wants to do them. And the miracles happen, and you stand back and you sit back and you just stand in awe, and you know, if I ever doubted God was real, I don't doubt it anymore. I just saw a miracle. A real miracle. And it's a gift. The Spirit of God gives it because He is a miracle worker. He does miraculous things. I could stand up here today. My wife could pull her journals out. I could tell you about miracles. Seeing miracles. Provision. Healing. I watched my little child healed instantly in front of my eyes of a raging fever when she was just a baby. Instantaneously. Does that mean I'm a healer? No. Just means Spirit of God, there was a need, boom, did it. And instantaneous healing happened. And people saw it. And people were aware. Their faith was built up. God is real. Gifts, miracles, he says. The effecting of miracles. Prophecy. And when we think of prophecy, we always think about foretelling the future. And sometimes that may have something to do with it. But Paul tells you exactly what it is if you go to chapter 14. And notice what he says in chapter 14, verse 1. He says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, there it is. Paul says, you need to want these things. It is not wrong to want them. Every day, I ask the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, release in me all the gifts and blessings of Pentecost that you came to bring. Every one of them, whatever gifts you want to distribute to me, give me what I need today. I want them all. I want every one of them. Paul says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. But he says, especially that you may prophesy. If there's one gift, he says, every member of the body of Christ ought to be asking for, it's the gift of prophecy. Why? Because he says, for one who speaks in a tongue doesn't understand. He talks about that, but he says, verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. You're building people up. Look to build people up, he says. Find ways to exhort them. Find ways to encourage them. Find ways to console and comfort them. Long for that. Ask for it. When was the last time you asked God for the gift of prophecy? Paul says, do it. It's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Prophesy. You speak these words to individuals. Discerning of spirits, he tells us. That's the ability to discern the difference between the work of God's Spirit or a foreign one. One that is not God. And that was going on in these gatherings. There were weird things happening. Strange things. And you need to be able to discern, is this God or is this not God? And you see, a lot of times what we typically do in the West, especially, if something happens that we can't explain or makes us feel weird, we say, that's not God, because it makes us uncomfortable, which is a bunch of baloney. How many times would you think you would have been uncomfortable hanging around with Jesus, watching the stuff, doing the stuff he did? You ever watch anybody walk on water before? You ever watch anybody cast out demons from somebody before? You ever watch somebody open blind eyes, raise dead people? That probably made you feel a little weird because it wasn't the norm. Just because something makes you and I feel uncomfortable is out of the range of what we call normal doesn't mean it's not God. But Paul says the Spirit of God does give us discernment that when there are things happening, whether or not this something doesn't sound right, something's not right about this being done here. Just as a sense, discerning it, you're aware of it. Then, of course, he talks about tongues. And the interpretation of tongues. And again, Paul says this is a legitimate gift. Paul says, I pray in tongues all the time. I sing in tongues, Paul says. Paul says, I do it all the time. But he says, when I'm in a public gathering, I'm not going to pray or sing in tongues unless there's somebody there to interpret it, because it's not going to benefit or bless anybody. For me, he says, it'll build me up. It builds the person up who's doing it. But he says, hey. And the reason, again, is if someone speaks in tongues, Paul says it in a public way, it has to be interpreted. Well, these people were just doing it, blah, 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 doing all what they were doing, and nobody was interpreting. So there was mass confusion. And he outlines all the way through chapter 14, this is how you operate in this gift. And if we would just stink and read black and white letters on white page, or black letters on a white page, and stop acting like idiots, especially in so many places in the West, we would stop so much confusion. And just do it the way Paul said, do it. Very simple. He says it builds you up. But again, when it happens, it's God, and it's evident. I've seen this, and I've shared it with you before, maybe once, at our fellowship in Florida. Several, 300 or 400 people gathered that Sunday morning. A lady comes up at the end of service to the leadership team, which was that's the way we had it set up. I feel like God's given me a message in tongues to the church. Okay, fine, sit down. The wife says, there's somebody that can interpret. So we asked. We stopped the worship time at the end. Anybody here could do, you know, feels led to do this? And the last person on the face of the planet you would ever thought would raise their hand, just as scared, stiff as she could be, raising her hand, just shaking. She said, I think I'm supposed to do it. She came up. The lady did what she did. The little woman interpreted it. And it was a message for the body. It was a message of encouragement, built the body up. Everybody was edified. Nobody walked out of there saying, that was not God. Nobody walked out of there scared off their out of their britches. Nobody walked out of there and said that was you know, something we should, not acceptable. Everybody walked out, built up and encouraged. And it never happened again. But it was in the context of the gathering. Somebody led by the Spirit to do that. And people walked out and said, God was here. See, the Holy Spirit gives these gifts, he says, to build your relationship with God. And he says the whole thing, that's why he goes into chapter 13, and he says the whole motivation of it all is love. That's the excellent way. Do what you do from a context of love. When you're in love with God, love fills your life. Just like he said in Ephesians 4, love is overflowing out of your life. And you're loving people, you're loving God, you're in this relationship of love with God, you're building people up in relationship because you love them out here. And gifts are being given because he loves you. Papa loves to give you these things. He loves to distribute. He loves to give these gifts because he wants people to know he's real. He wants people to know he's alive and living. Not some dead, dumb idol. Or some figure that died 2,000 years ago and hopefully he's alive somewhere. He wants you to know he's real. Because he loves you and he wants people in relationship with him. Remember, these are tools, not toys. The Corinthians were treating them like toys. Or they were treating them like a badge of honor. Ooh, I did a miracle. Ooh, I did a healing. Ooh, I spoke in tongues. Ooh, I prophesied. No. They weren't running around, taking off into other cities, making big followings, getting big TV programs, and building little kingdoms for themselves off their little gifts. These were simple, most of them slaves, uneducated, many of them, operating in supernatural power. See, Jesus operated in these things. He had them without limit. He exercised and did these things. Spirit of God was the one giving them to him. Everything he did by the power of the Spirit. But it's all for the building up in relationship. As we said last week, these rivers of living water bubbling up out of us are bubbling up with gifts. Flowing out to a needy world. Flowing out to the world around us. Our exercising of the gifts help clarify and focus in on the news, the good news, and point to Jesus and relationship with him. That's what they do. Pointing people to the goodness of God. You don't think that if you were praying for someone and the Holy Spirit, bloop, dropped on you a gift of healing and they were healed instantly, do you not think that that person would have the thought, God is good. God is good. Do you not think you'd think that? You not think when those people that Jesus touched that miraculously were healed didn't think God was good? Why do you think they danced and celebrated? Do you not think when someone needs a word of encouragement? I shared something yesterday. I had no clue with someone. And he texted me back and he said, brother, you have no idea. I have been praying about a decision in my life and you just said exactly what I needed to hear from God. I had no idea. His response was, God is good. People will see and experience the goodness and grace and love of God. As you simply step out by faith and just start loving people and ministering to them. The tragedy is so much as what happens in the church is that we feel like, oh, we pay people to do that for us. We pay people to minister for us. We pay people to love for us. And we come and we sit and we observe and we wonder why nothing happens. Wonder why we don't see God do things. He wants to give all these gifts. He's distributed them for the purpose of connecting us in relationship with God and with each other. To know Him. To love Him. To trust Him. Thank you, Father, for being good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for gifting us the way that you have. Thank you for blessing your church with beautiful, beautiful gifts that look like Jesus. They are the expression of His life in us. Help us to hunger for and desire these gifts, that we might be vessels and vehicles through which you love and through which you're able to touch the world around us. We love you because you first loved us. And we thank you that we live in a place of perfect love with you, perfectly loved by you. Stir us to desire more. In Jesus' name, amen.